This is the California Report podcast. I'm John Sepulvedo in Los Angeles.
And I'm Lily Jamali in Oroville up in Butte County. And in case you missed it, our state has a new governor. Gavin Newsom was sworn in on Monday. I got to watch it happen along with KQED politics reporter Katie Orr. We chatted about it earlier. Katie, why don't we begin by playing a quick bite for our listeners? This is from Gavin Newsom's inaugural speech, and I think it really encapsulates the overall message of that speech.
Here in California, we will prove that people of good faith and firm will can still come together to achieve big things. We will offer an alternative to the corruption and the incompetence in the White House.
There you have it. He's taking direct aim at the president without ever saying his name.
Right. And I think, though, that this is something we're going to be hearing a lot from Gavin Newsom, making Trump, you know, enemy number one without actually saying that he's enemy number one, because that would, you know, bring him down to that level. But I think we can hear, expect to hear a lot of these messages going forward.
Next, let's play a really interesting moment that took place just before Gavin Newsom took the podium. A couple of conservative protesters had planted themselves where we were sitting, the very back of the room where the press was. Take a listen. So what you heard there is these conservative activists saying, fight sanctuary states, and then you have a crowd coming in and coming to Gavin Newsom's rescue.
Yeah, it was kind of a dramatic moment, especially from, again, where we were seated. These people just sort of stood up in front of us, started it off by yelling, I object, right before Gavin Newsom took the oath of office.
Very different moment from just moments earlier where Nancy Pelosi walks into the room and you hear the crowd go wild.
Yeah, it was interesting because all of a sudden you just see people like leap to their feet and start cheering. This, you know, to be clear, is a room full of like the party faithful. And to see now Speaker or again Speaker Nancy Pelosi walk into the room was kind of like, you know, their leader was coming home. And you could just tell how like thrilled everyone was to see her.
Despite our nosebleed seats all the way in the back, I think we still got a really nice up and close glimpse of Gavin Newsom's relationship with his son when his son runs up onto the stage. And he's talking about some very serious stuff. He's talking about immigration and early childhood education at that point in the speech. And I think he really stole the show, didn't he?
Yeah, this was a great moment. Newsom's son, Dutch, who is 2 years old, just kind of wandered onto the stage right at the point where Gavin Newsom was talking about how children from every background should be like supported, and so should parents. And this little boy just comes wandering up with his blanket and his pacifier, and without skipping a beat, you know, Gavin Newsom bends down and picks him up and kind of gives him a cuddle. But then the most hilarious part was this little boy didn't want to go away, and he proceeded to like wander around the stage for a good 5 minutes or so.
Yeah.
I will say politically also, you know, lend a bit of humanity to the speech. So I think in that respect, it was probably, you know, a good thing for Gavin Newsom.
KQED's Katie Orr, thanks for hosting us in the Sacramento Bureau today.
Anytime.
All right. So as we listen to that, we know that Governor Gavin Newsom has since essentially proposed that more people without legal status, specifically children, be covered under different various health care plans, including state-run health care plans, Lily. We also know, right, exactly. And we also know that Governor Gavin Newsom might have a situation on his hands, because as we told our listeners yesterday, President Trump is expected to come to the southern border. We still don't know if that means the southern border here in California or somewhere in Arizona, New Mexico, or Texas, but we are expecting there to be a lot of publicity around that, because the government shutdown, the federal government shutdown, has been going on now for almost 3 weeks. So there's a lot for Governor Gavin Newsom to resist. Of course, there are many controversies surrounding the Trump administration, including their decision to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. There is a federal trial underway regarding that question. KQED's Raquel Maria Dillon has that story.
The case combines lawsuits filed by the state of California, Los Angeles schools, and six cities. The plaintiff's first expert was a statistics professor who testified that a citizenship question would lead to an undercount of non-citizens and Latinos. Attorney Ezra Rosenberg says the question would violate the constitutional requirement to count everybody and would be costly to the city of San Jose.
What's at stake is its share of perhaps hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of federal dollars of federal funding.
Department of Justice lawyers say the census can prevent an undercount by making follow-up visits and consulting other records. The trial is expected to last about a week. The federal judge will rule from the bench. For the California Report, I'm Raquel Maria Dillon.
Well, as we consider lawsuits, let's ask what is going to happen to PG&E, because, Lily, as you know, in Butte County, there's a lot of talk that PG&E is going to go bankrupt soon.
Well, yeah, and CAL FIRE is still investigating the cause of the campfire, but a big part of that investigation is whether PG&E equipment had something to do with it. So just this morning, John, we saw Standard & Poor's cut PG&E's credit rating to junk. And what we're seeing on Wall Street is PG&E shares in free fall for a second day in a row, down more than 10%. They were down 20% yesterday after that Reuters report that they were considering bankruptcy, which you alluded to a moment ago. I happen to be sitting outside of the meeting of the Butte County Board of Supervisors as we record this. I'm going to run back in there in a couple minutes here. But what they are going to be talking about, among other things, is toxic debris removal, how to do it, the best process, where to put it. And this is also something that's on the minds of Paradise residents, because the town of Paradise wants people to move back 2 months after the fire. But as KQED Sonia Hudson reports, that's despite concerns about the health effects of living next to wildfire debris.
Debris removal in Paradise isn't set to begin for another week, so most properties are still just heaps of twisted metal and melted drywall. That debris can contain arsenic, asbestos, and lead. But people have moved back into homes that are still standing, and Paradise is allowing people to live in RVs on their properties, as long as their lot is two-thirds of an acre or larger. People with smaller lots can move back after debris has been cleared from their property. So why are officials working so hard to move people back into a toxic disaster zone?
Well, people want to move back.
That's Paradise Mayor Jody Jones.
We really don't have a lot of information about the debris and its health impacts. We're trying to keep people out of the debris footprint, and they know that they're up there at their own risk.
The Butte County Public Health Department says it does not recommend living on property with debris. Chemicals in the debris can aggravate asthma and respiratory problems and can get into the water supply. Residents are being advised to only use bottled water while the Paradise Irrigation District tests the water. Ray Hogan lives in neighboring Magalia and lived in Paradise for around 20 years.
I'm more concerned about the toxins left behind that many people don't understand what was in these people's homes that burnt.
He's so worried about toxins in the soil, he wants to move away from the place he's called home for decades. For the California Report, I'm Sonia Hudson.
Well, as we consider what's coming next with this story, I couldn't help but think that PG&E share the same junk credit. Oh, my God. I can't even make a joke. I can't even make a joke today. Lily,
oh, my
Jamali,
goodness, John. Pull yourself together, poor guy. Let's just tell our listeners, you're sick. You're not feeling well. And that explains some of the stumbles and the profanity from earlier. Let's take a listen to you trying to get through a script earlier.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that the governor will also, can we put that in there? Can we put in the god part? 3, 2, 1. And of course, there are many controversies surrounding President Trump, including
And that is how the sausage gets made.
Yeah, it's not pretty. And it's not pretty how I feel right now, Lily. I'm very hopped up on cold medicine. It's hard to think. But I consider myself very, very lucky, and that's because a lot of folks don't even get that option. The flu has been something fierce this year,
yeah.
And sadly, there have actually been 42 deaths this flu season connected to this particular flu. Now, that's in the state of California.
Mm-hmm.
That is not as many deaths as has occurred in past flu seasons, but it is still a lot, and especially when you consider You know, we have a first world healthcare system. Many people have access to some of the best doctors in the country in this particular state. But again, we're starting to see both age and economic disparities. We're seeing poor people hit harder, according to statistics. We're also seeing the elderly, people 65 and older, about half of the people, the 42 people who died this flu season, about half of them are senior citizens 65 mm-hmm. and older. Yeah. So I'm very lucky that I get to count my blessings, and it's worth noting that there's something harsher going on in the state right now for many other people.
Absolutely. Well, I hope you feel better, and everybody stay safe out there. Wash your hands. I have kids, so it's inevitable that I will get it, but I'm going to just do my best not to for as long as possible.
Yeah. And that is on that high note. Mm-hmm. On that very, very high note.
Very high note.
That is the California Report podcast. I'm John Sepulvedo in Los Angeles.
And I'm Lily Jamali in Oroville. Thanks for listening.
Support for the California Report comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems. The James Irvine Foundation, committed to a California where all low-income workers have the power to advance economically. Learn more at irvine.org. And Collective Health. American employers are in the healthcare business. It's time they had the technology to drive it. CollectiveHealth.com.